Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. Commercial real estate with no stone left unturned.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. I'm your host, Mike Taravella, and happy to be with my co-host, Will Coleman. How's it going, Will?
Doing well, Mike. Just running the marathon one step at a time. And I noticed we both are wearing college polos today. I don't know if we planned that.
It's College Friday here in the office, now that we can come to an office.
Yeah, doing great, Mike.
So super excited to have our guest on. She's probably one of the hardest people I know working. So, Will, how about you do an intro for her?
Sure. So today on the show, we have Katerina Stepanova. I hope I'm saying that correctly. I got a thumbs up, so I'll go with it. But Katerina is kind of my go-to person for mobile home parks. She's got just over 181 lots of owned. She's a partner of M2K Partners. The website is fantastic, so I'd recommend checking that out. And like I said, anytime I have a question about mobile home parks, I call E. Katerina. So welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thank you very much for having me. Glad to be here.
So mobile home parks, I feel like that's an interesting story. I read your bio, so I'd love to hear kind of the evolution of your investing to career going from your start to where you are today.
Mm-hmm. Sure, guys. Well, you know, when you immigrate from Russia, this is where you go.
Oh, this old, that old, that story.
Did you know? Yeah, no, I just, jokes aside, I immigrated to States 13 years ago. It was kind of very traditional upbringing, grew up Soviet times, perestroika, not much entrepreneurship was going on around me when I was growing up. But I always felt that there is definitely something more to life than just a job 9 to 5. My parents, my grandparents, they all in the same power engineering background industry. Just my brother then went into like third generation. So everyone I knew had a regular jobs. I was always curious about there has to be something else and more interesting to do. There has to be something. And so I was always reading and listening and was trying to see if I could find a role model to take example from. So when I actually moved to States, that was a big thing for me. Land of opportunity, lots of interesting things to do and try. And that's how I really started looking into real estate investing. Yeah, started with a single family. It was a turnkey in Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah, that was.
So from the turnkey in Memphis, how did that evolve into mobile home parks? I feel like right. There's a couple of fun stories in between.
Yeah,
most people jump into multifamily, it seems like, but you went directly to mobile home parks. Is that correct?
That is correct. The reason I did not continue with a single family investing simply because it was very lucky, I guess, to me that in the course of first 6 months of me owning that turnkey, I had two subsequent evictions, and I quickly realized that
you're doing great.
That it's not the way to scale my wealth, and I thought I need to go into a commercial. I need more units. I need less of a risk, and I did start looking into apartment buildings initially. I did also realize that entry point for me with no capital to speak of or experience or network at that point would be quite difficult. So I started looking around and discovered mobile home parks, and starting from the point that parks are just lower price point, lower barrier of entry. So that was attractive to me. And then when I also learned that most of them are still owned by mom and pops, who I could talk to much easier than with a big shot, brokers. So I thought that would be a good starting point. So that is how, cold calling, direct mailing. This is how I got into mobile home parks.
Yeah, there's definitely less egos in the mobile home park space, I would imagine.
Yeah. And, you know, I just really, the more I was calling on owners, the more I started liking this industry because, you know, those owners are mostly a little older in age, and they are have time, so they could spend time on the phone with you, and they can really share how the business operates. They could share the tips and pros and cons and just pretty much anything that you need to know operating parks. So that was definitely very big attraction of the industry, and just a whole different setup, big difference from others.
I was going to say real quick is like Katarina is such a hardworking person and always willing to go the extra mile. One thing is that she has her meetup to mobile home park tribe, which so even from her side of starting off, she wanted to foster a community and develop people. So even if they didn't want to sell, Katarina's going above and beyond. And hey, there's other people who invest and own and operate these parks. So I'm sure from your point of view, it was that communal aspect that you could really foster and be an industry leader on that you could offer to anyone. And it's virtual and it's a great meetup. And so I think even if when people cold call and think of, I need to sell today, you offer so much more dynamic of learning, education, even a community. A lot of times in the real estate investing space, it's you just sit and kind of grind on yourself and just try to figure it out. And you're like, am I the only sane person here? And then you go to these meetups and you're like, yes, I am. Okay, good. It's a good litmus test of what's going on. So,
yeah. No, Mike, thank you for bringing this up, because community is definitely something of it is a big passion of mine. It's a big part of my life, simply because, as I mentioned, I immigrated. My whole family, is back in Russia. So as I work, I still have W-2. I invest in parks. I work a lot. So community kind of allows me to learn, share, and foster a relationship that are people with similar interests. So this is a real relationship that grew. Some of them grew into just personal friendships. I just really enjoy it, and most definitely I want to make sure that I do my part and share that information that I have with people who are eager to listen and learn more, because I was definitely benefited greatly from mentorship in this field. People shared information with me, helped me out however they could. I always bring up like Charles Dehart. He's he's incredible. He went on due diligence trips with me. I mean, he like showed me everything he knew. Some other folks in the industry, I'm like really grateful, and just trying to do my part.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes is, the highest human act is to inspire. And I think that's, by educating and by mentoring in a way, you are fostering inspiration in people that are coming up. And so you can inspire them to do greater things. And if then they'll do that to the next generation, it just builds and builds. And it's just kind of the evolution of progress, really.
And Katarina before showed us her to-do list, and every day it's a big book she showed us. It's like this thick of her to-do list. So when she says she works hard, she's like, I'm not sleeping until this book is done. Every day.
Well, Mike, you will be surprised. This planner that I shared with you, it's called a High Performance Planner, and it's by Brendan Bouchard, who is the high performance, coach. I'm always looking, guys, if you don't have much time, you don't have much time to waste. So you have to be very clear on your priorities and have very clear vision of each day when you start it. I like to have this vision before I end my day. I like to, this planner helps you plan your month, your key events, plans. So it's not a surprise when you come on a day and there's something that you were supposed to be like taking a few steps preparation for. So I just like to try to do my best. It's not ideal, not going to be perfect, going to be messy, not great, but I'm just trying to take extra effort. Again, for my team, you know, I still work full time. I'd love to do more. I'd love to, you know, operate more parks and do other things and be even more engaged with the community, you know, but I have the time I have, so I like to maximize.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that basically there are a lot of differences between multifamily and mobile home parks. And one thing that we wanted to ask about is kind of the underwriting piece, because I've heard from some people that have entered the space recently that it is much more difficult to underwrite because you have, there's tenant owned homes, there's park owned homes. And then some of those park owned homes are, you know, basically rent to own. There's some complexities in the leases and this, the structure of, you know, some maybe RVs that come and go. So when it comes to the underwriting piece, do you have any advice or like what's the differences between multifamily and mobile home parks?
Sure. Well, when you look at the mobile home park, it is a land that is divided on lots. So you have infrastructure that comes to those lots, and the park owner is providing lots, provides infrastructure, and sometimes, depending on the deal, a park owner may be providing homes, those mobile homes where tenants live in. It's not necessarily the case in all times, but depending, you know, on the deal, that could be the case. So when you look at the infrastructure component of the mobile home parks, there are a few variables. When talking about water and sewer, it is possible that you will have water, could come from well, could be a city water, could be billed back to tenants, not billed back, maybe billed back directly, maybe not. So that could be a variable. Sewer, it could be city sewer, which is preferred, easier. It could be septic. So when you are dealing with septics, then you would want to know, when you're underwriting again, you would want to know what is the setup. Is it one-on-one, meaning each lot has you know, its own septic, the size, obviously, condition and whatnot. So that all comes into place. When you're doing your underwriting, I don't want to go too deep into it, but again, you want to, when you're doing underwriting, you're doing your due diligence. You want to see if, for example, that septic fails, do you have more room for to put in a leach field? So those kind of things that you look into, when looking at the ease of operating the park. Septic, again, septic systems, it could be wastewater treatment plant, and the one that you should just not ever touch is a lagoon. that is just a nasty thing.
Sounds like a good story for a different podcast.
Yeah, stay away from easy as that. So that just concerning infrastructure. If you sometimes you can have electricity, master metered electricity. So this is, for example, the situation that we have in one of our parks. So you wouldn't want to necessarily keep that master metered electricity. You might decide to submit our electricity, so it's billed directly. So that is something that comes into play from time to time. And most of the buyers would just simply not buy parks with master metered electricity, because complexity of billing it back or submitting is great. Also, when you talking about infrastructure and you have, let's say your park is on private utilities, you may want to investigate the possibility of you hooking up to the city lines, which of course allows easier operations. So that is just really brief about utilities, but talking about park-owned homes versus standalone homes, it is as easy as whether you want to just provide a lot, pretty much a parking lot for someone else's home that is considered a personal property. It's not a real estate, which is like a car, and which depreciates and loses value as time goes by, does not increase in value like real estate, it decreases in value. So would you want to own it or would you rather not? So our team, for example, my partners and I, would choose not to own it. Some people do like to own parks, park-owned homes and rent them out. And bank will not lend on homes most of the time because parks usually come with a, just most of the times when you buy from mom and pops, they're older homes. So on those homes, park bank will not lend. So when you're doing your underwriting, just underwrite lot rents only. And that would be a very accurate prognosis of the park value. So yeah, I guess that's just a very
that's very
explanation.
I think like high level, and correct me if I'm wrong, Katarina, from the mobile home park investor, the more structure, the more you have to do as the owner, the less value it is. So if it's a park owned home, you have to maintain it. It's not if you have the master meter, then you have to do more work and build back.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal, I'm going to say ideal, heavy valued property is just the infrastructure and the land itself.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do any billing. You don't have to, it's you, you are the land, and that is the highest value, because from the bank side, it's, there's no less risk because you just own the land. The septic has more risk because you're not attached to the city, so you have to do more work with it. So
correct.
Is that correct?
You're absolutely right. We would look at it as, you know, my team, we're involved in a value add assets. This is kind of our sweet spot. So we are looking for such parks that have upside potential where we could do some work and bring them to that end goal when we simply renting out parking lot. So we optimize infrastructure exactly as you said. We make sure we build back water. We install water meters, or we submit our electricity. So now city is responsible for electrical, you know, providers responsible for billing back. And this way we do decrease expenses, NOI rises. Also, cap rate will decrease simply by virtue of, you know, it's becoming more turnkey property.
Perfect. If someone were to get more involved, besides joining your mobile home park tribe, is there like a resource that you know for like underwriting, or is it just kind of get in front of it? What's like the one resource that was your kind of mobile home park Bible to kind of learn and grow in the space?
Mm-hmm. Well, that resource might not be available right now, I'm afraid, because I was learning my, you know, first steps I took in the Mobile Home Park Academy, which was Kevin Bubbs and Charles Dehart's. It is no longer, you know, open. But I would say really good knowledge base exists in Mobile Home Park University, which is the website. It's Frank Rolfe's website. Frank Rolfe is the fifth largest mobile home park investor and owner in the country. He's been in the industry for decades, and he's a wealth of information, very concise, very to the point materials that he provides on his website and also on podcasts. They're very short and very to the point. So pretty much the gist, like a theoretical knowledge, theoretical base, I would highly recommend just go into those resources. Then, of course, you would need to go out and see for yourself. And then you can come back to the tribe and say, I went to the park. Here is what I found. What do I do with it?
Yeah. And then,
like, we can help and kind of walk you through this.
So I spoke with someone, and this was when I was starting to learn about mobile home parks. Mm-hmm. And he specifically said, don't get into mobile home parks if you're not an operator. And so I'm curious your thoughts on this. And his point was, you know, you're not someone that can sit behind a desk and you know, be passive with this stuff. You need to be very active. There's slightly more management and operations involved. Mm-hmm. So that's why he said a lot of people stay away from it. And it's just kind of his opinion. So I'm curious your thoughts on that statement.
Well, I would say that our first park that we bought with my partners close to 2 years ago, we're done with our turnaround. There is nothing to do. Every single structure, including office, we had to convert office to the home, and shed is now, everything is rented out. There is nothing else to do. Homes are sold on notes. The tenants, water is built back, and there is nothing. We don't even have, you know, full-time park manager anymore.
Wow.
He just part-time. He lives in the park, so he keeps an eye out. Nothing else to do. exactly. But so I would say, you know, if your play is a value add, you will be very, very, very involved. And this is a hard work. And it will take time, obviously, more time and more money, as we all know, than you plan. But if you buy turnkey, there is not much to do, especially if it's tenant-owned homes. As Mike mentioned earlier, there is not much for you to do if you're renting out parking lot. What are the risks? You know, but as we're turning around right now, our second park, and there's a lot of projects going on at the same time. We're very much involved. All three partners, we turn it around. Everyone is responsible for their project because we have, rehabbing and selling off homes, park-owned homes. We have 35 of them. We billing back water. We billing, we master metering electricity, doing roads. So all these are projects that are happening. Once we're going to be done, again, you know, what is there to do? Right?
You sit can on the cash flow and let it go.
Exactly. So it really depends on what condition of asset you buy in and what's the goal.
Okay. Yeah, and it makes sense. It depends on the asset and your ability to implement systems and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
So everything with like the pandemic, and I know mobile home parks, there's the not your backyard. I'm just curious what your outlook is for mobile home parks moving forward.
We have a great outlook on our.
I said that was the one time I think I stumped Katarina, and it was just pure happiness, like
a pure happiness.
Willy Wonka.
Well, we are very actively marketing, as always. We are really looking forward to buying more parks this year, next year. We're not buying many parks. Because we're really looking to maximize what we're buying. It might be, so far it's been just one park a year, but guess what? We do like to increase the value of our park by $1 million in one quarter. I can tell you that. That sounds pretty sweet to me. Yeah. So I think we kind of like those type of deals. That's why we look at many off-market deals every single week, but we like those type that we could buy one, but this would be just a really sweet home run.
No, that's awesome. And I think that goes back to, if you have really specific criteria of what you're looking for, mm-hmm. there might not be a ton of deals, but when you get a deal, like you said, it's a home run. So, and I think everyone in their investing career is like, I'm looking at mobile home parks, and then they're like, not the lagoon and just like really honing in on what you want. So you might call 100 brokers or mom and pops, but there might be three deals that fit all your criteria, which is okay. There'll be days where you're banging your head against the wall, like, when is it coming? But it's having that laser focus just keeps you dialed in.
I'm telling you, that high performance platter. No joke.
Do you have any metrics that you look for when you're buying? Like, do you want to see a certain cap rate? Do you want to see a certain equity multiple? Or is it just, this is a property that's in distress that we know we can add significant value to? Or kind of how do you look at it on that level?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this. That's why our properties are pretty much in different locations. Because we look for opportunity. We do look for significant value add. Economy has to be really strong. There is no question about that. That's probably the only thing that you cannot fix. And we have to buy it at the right price. So it's absolutely has to. We estimate right away the projects that we plan on performing. And we would like to get our money out in a couple, like 2-3 years. So we look at that. And from that perspective, we plan on how we're going to operate, what projects are going to take place. Pretty much, it's a long-term hold for us. So we look to do the projects in the first 2-3 years, get our money out of it and, cash flow. So that's our strategy.
Do you refi or you with the refi, right?
Yes.
And 2-3. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess if you're able to refi your capital within 2-3 years,
it's pretty good.
Yeah. It's, and then you're making cash flow off of basically $0 in the deal. The metrics aren't super important at that point.
Yeah. So that's why septics are okay. Park owned homes are okay. We just need to make sure that we can do what we want to do with it.
Yeah, it's the business plan. How am I adding as much value to the property, to the banks, to give us and our investors all the money? So,
mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, I thought you were going to say it takes a quarter to get everyone's money back, but I see how it's a little longer now, just in case.
Yeah, just a little bit longer, exactly. No, let's be realistic. It's simple, not easy. Takes a lot of effort, a lot of planning. Especially, you know, when you still have W-2 job, you have to be just really careful about all things will go wrong. So yeah,
Do you have a full-time job now?
Yeah,
I do.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's impressive.
Yep.
I'm impressed.
Katarina gets 2 hours of sleep, I bet.
No, seven.
Jeez.
Good job. Gotta have this.
I was going to say, the biggest thing I think is just making sure, to Will's point, Katarina, is of rolling up your sleeves of as an investor, because anyone can easily make money by saying, oh, we're increasing rents 3% year over year, we're cutting expenses. CapEx is just a number on a spreadsheet, but doing that CapEx and really adding that value in project managing, which I know Katarina is a pro at, and just making sure everyone's getting it done and getting those checkpoints. That's where the value comes in. And it sounds like in the mobile home parks, it's, you know, making sure getting it done, because in the end, we're providing communities to our residents and making sure they're living, you know, becoming the best version of themselves. So we just want to make sure keeping everyone accountable, doing the right thing every single day, which especially while working at W2 and a meetup and everything else. A lot of coffee.
Yeah. You know, that's a, well, it's a work of passion. What can I say?
That's awesome. Great. So before we go to our pro tip, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsors.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created: buy right, manage right, and finance experience right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
So Katarina, what is the investor pro tip for our listeners today?
Well, I actually was thinking about like bringing up the planner. You have to have very clear. You have to be very clear.
You can showcase it. We put it on YouTube. You can show everyone your big to-do list.
Oh, it's not big, actually. You have to just three things you need to hit. Three. Yeah.
So three things to move the needle every day.
Exactly. But they have to, you have to like really think them through and it's like domino effect, right? What is the big one that will, tip everything else? Awesome. So you kind of have to think in that, in those terms.
What I'm curious, what's your process for that? Like before you go to bed, do you think about the three things you need to get done the next day or when you wake up, how does that look?
Yeah. Well, I recently kind of joined the group. It's a free like group I hang out with. It's a funny name. It's called Bento. This is Yancy Strickler's, the founder of Kickstarter. That's his group. And so it's like free Zoom. I hang out with Yancy like two times a week. Yay. he kind of teaches that, you look at your life, at your week, from a perspective of future, what's good for now me, future me, where am I like trying to achieve, like where am I going with my life, right? What is really important? So it's now us, like me, my family, right? Now us and future us. So my family, my friends, like in the future, what are the key things, like what is from that perspective, what is really important? So we do this every week on Sundays. So we get with Yancy Strickler and plan our week. We look at it. What are the priorities? Where I want to focus on this week? What are my absolutely, biggest things that are most important for me? So from that point on, I just break them down like throughout the week. And that's not too many things, actually, when you think from that perspective.
That's awesome.
A lot of just noise. So
yeah, it's so important to have your priorities in order and make sure that those priorities get done and understand what's not a priority so that those things don't distract you from your priorities. It's definitely very important. So before we let you go here, what is the best way people can get in touch with you if they have any questions about mobile home parks, or maybe they want to join your mobile home park tribe on Facebook? What's the best way they can get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, as you said, they can always come to a Facebook group. It's MHP Tribe. It's a group on Facebook. So it's a free, open, public group. You can come, you can join, you can hang out with us. I love posting, updates on the turnarounds that we're doing every week, with my team. So we share. So the mhpteam.com is the website for my partners and myself, for our parks. So you can just check out our properties there. So I think that's just the easiest way. And we'll be happy to hang out and chat with anyone who is interested in mobile home park space.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Katarina, for providing everyone so much value. If you have any questions for Katarina, feel free to reach out to her. If you have any questions for us, reach out to us at info@randcre.com. Make sure you like, comment, share the podcast wherever you, with all your friends, family, and future mobile home park investors.
That's right.
Until then, we'll see you next week. Thank you, Katarina.
Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure.